In 1987, I went to a Silver Spring mikveh as part of my conversion to Judaism. While it only took a few minutes to dip in the mikveh, it took me almost 2 years to get up the guts to tell my Jewish-born father that I had converted and that I would be raising my two daughters as Jews. When I finally did tell him, his first response was, "Susan, it's such a pagan religion." I remember thinking, pagan? Wow, that's not what I was expecting. And then he said something that absolutely stunned me. He said, "Why would you do that to your children?" I remember being so enraged, I yelled at him and said, "Dad, Brian, their father, is Jewish. I'm half Jewish. You think the whole world doesn't see my kids as Jews? Of course it does, and I want them to know what that means and to have a sense of identity." You know, we really find out about our parents in bits and pieces, but with that one remark, I came face to face with the demons that had haunted my father since his childhood. My father had spent his early childhood in the Reservoir Hill section of Baltimore. He once told me that his family was extremely Orthodox, and that when his father was so observant that when he was young, he had been beaten for stepping on a twig and carrying a handkerchief on Shabbat. When my father was almost 10, his family was rocked by tragedy when his father committed suicide by hanging himself with his tefillin. I know, horrible. My father, his pregnant mother, and little brother were left virtually destitute and moved to Brooklyn, New York to live with relatives. My father spent the rest of his youth in Brooklyn, graduating from high school with what he told me were just miserable high school grades. Despite that fact, he was accepted to Syracuse University under the quota system because he told me he had a cousin who was a big football star. My father absolutely delighted in telling the story of how he'd entered Syracuse on probation with the full expectation he would flunk out, but graduated Phi Beta Kappa and went on to Syracuse Law School, where he was near the top of his class. As a young attorney, he joined the U.S. Department of Treasury, and when World War II came, he got a commission in the U.S. Coast Guard Service. Because of his Treasury Department experience, he was assigned to General Dwight Eisenhower's staff in Europe and made chief of the Foreign Exchange and Property Control Section. In that role, he was responsible for the recovery of the billions of dollars of gold, silver, currency, and artwork looted by the Nazis and hidden by them in the final months of the war. He also saw firsthand what had happened to the Jews of Europe in the Nazi death camps. After the war, my father met my mother, Mary Jane Johnson, at a Washington, D.C. dinner party. My mother had been a newspaper reporter, and she had, when the war had come, she had joined the Navy, becoming a lieutenant in the Waves. My mother was the product of a Christian Scientist mother and a very Republican father. Her parents were so conservative that when my mother became an FDR Democrat, they were convinced she was really a communist. And they would later go on to become staunch members of the John Birch Society. My parents eloped after a 2-week courtship and essentially turned their backs on both their families when they moved to Paris for 3 years when my father became chief counsel of the American Jewish Joint Distribution Committee. At the joint, my father used his considerable financial skills to help relocate the Jews who had survived the Holocaust to Palestine and to other countries. When my twin brother and I eventually came along, my parents decided to raise us Unitarians, or as my father would refer to it, as Junitarians. The first time I ever heard the word Jew, I was about 5 1/2, and President Eisenhower was running for re-election. There was a rally for him on TV in which people were holding up signs saying, "I like Ike, I like Ike." And I remember joining right in, marching around saying, "I like Ike, I like Ike." And my father corrected me pretty quickly and said, "No, we like Adelaide Stevenson." Well, I wasn't real happy with that little bit of news, and I think I must have been whining about how much I wanted to like Ike like everybody else. When my father said, "I will never vote for that man," he used to call me his Jew boy. I was absolutely fascinated. The word Jew went right over my head. But I was absolutely fascinated that somebody could call my 6 foot, 200-pound father a boy. My parents' marriage didn't last, and when I was about 8, my father married my stepmother, who I would describe as culturally Jewish. I don't recall either my father or stepmother ever attending any kind of religious service, but we did celebrate Passover with her family, and I was sent to Jewish sleepover camps with my stepbrother and stepsister. It took me a long time to put the pieces of my father's life together. When I did, I came to see that for my dad, being a Jew was a burden. It meant abuse. It meant suicide. It meant quotas. It meant Nazi death camps. And it meant prejudice. None of those were my experiences. But I came to understand that my father had spent my whole life trying to protect me from a danger, something he was convinced was dangerous, only to have me turn around and embrace it. My father died in 1997, and he spent the last months of his life at the Levendale Nursing Home. By then, he had gotten very demented, and I felt certain that in his confusion, he would never really understand that Levendale was a Jewish facility. I was wrong. I remember going to see him towards the end. It was really near the Jewish high holidays, and when I walked in, he was as alert as he had been in weeks. He looked at me, and he said, "Susan, a rabbi came to see me today." I thought, uh-oh. And then he asked a question. "Is this place Jewish?" That's it. Thank you.